Welcome to Divine Intervention. This is a podcast looking at the very finest and some of the best value South African wines with me, Chio Fraser, and our food and wine guru, Michael Griffin. Sit back, enjoy, and if you've seen what the bottle is, buy one and taste it with us. Welcome to Divine Intervention. This is a podcast. It's a weekly wine tasting in which Michael Olifir, our food and wine guru down in the Cape, joins me, John Fraser, and a few guests in the Joburg studio to talk about a particular wine, but also to talk about some of the issues surrounding the wines and spirits industry. So before we introduce the wine, I think it's time to say hello to our guru in the Cape, celebrity chef, author, writer, wine expert, food expert, and all-round jolly good chap, Michael Olifir. Michael, great to chat to you.
John, thank you. Lovely to be with you again.
Well, thanks for joining us again. And you can't see us, but we can certainly see ourselves here in the Joburg studio. With me, we have investment analyst, stockbroker, stock picker, all sorts of things in the financial sphere, Levan Gopal. Levan, great to have you here for the first time.
Greetings and greetings to all of your listeners. It's great to be with you, and of course we wouldn't pass up an opportunity to taste some fine wines.
Which we will certainly be doing in this and our subsequent recordings with you and our other guest who's returning, our first returnee on Divine Intervention. Independent economist, independent analyst, spent several decades with Nedbank. One of the faces you will no doubt see on many of the business programs on TV. You'll hear him on radio a lot. He is still incredibly active and incredibly on the spot most of the time. Ian Cruickshanks. Ian, great to chat to you.
Thank you, John. I hope I can live up to just a little of that.
Well, having gone through the trivia of introducing the guests, we'll move on to the important stuff, which is the wine we're tasting today. Now, it's a Swartland Chenin Blanc. It's a 2012, and it's from Kloof Street. Michael, what can you tell us about the Kloof Street Swartland Chenin Blanc?
Well, the Molyneux, Andrea and Chris are the people who make this wine. The company's called Molyneux Family Wines. She's couple of months ago was made a member of the Cape Winemakers Guild. They do things pretty seriously. And what they've done with this, Kloof Street is a street in Ribeirão Castile where they have their winery. They're literally in the middle of town. They have vineyards that they have long-term leases on. And what they've done is they've looked for old Chenin vineyards. So they've got a 32-year-old vineyard and then two 40-year-old vineyards where they're getting their grapes from bush vines, unirrigated. And you land up with this wine which is wrapped into a tank and 5% of it into pre-filled barrels for fermentation. And you land up with this just magical, magical wine. If you lift the glass and have a look at it, it's a pale, pale straw color. And then you've got the sort of Chenin-y notes on the nose of ripe sliced pear. And interestingly enough, it's some of the schist-based soils of the Ribeirão Castile Mountains. In sort of rainy weather, you get that nice granity smell there as well. Very full palate, masses of fruit, just layers and layers and layers, and then a nice sort of minerally spicy finish to it. A really nice wine, a really, really nice wine.
I have to agree with you, Michael. I have to apologize to our Joburg guests because we rushed into the studio today and I didn't have time to properly chill this, so it's pretty much at room temperature, and room temperature at here in Gauteng, we have nice weather, Michael. Not much of you sufferers down in the Cape with your floods and storms and all sorts of biblical infestations. We have quite warm weather, so we're drinking this rather warm. But I must say, it's a beautifully elegant wine. I I am happy to drink it at this temperature, which is quite unusual with me in a white wine, and I think that's a tribute to the winemaking and to the quality of what we have in our glass. But as usual, what do I know? Levan Gopal, you're from Durban, so you're used to drinking stuff at fiery temperatures. How are you enjoying this?
It's a beautiful, warm spring day in Johannesburg. A wine like this, I think if it were chilled, is probably going to be the best accompaniment to a summer's meal or a spring meal. I admit that it's probably best to have it slightly chilled. It grabs you immediately. So at first taste, there's lots of different flavors. And there is something of a pleasant sharpness to it.
Ian Cruikshanks.
Yes, you know, when you said we're starting with the Shannon, I thought, okay, that may be slightly sweetish, and my taste would normally be for something slightly dryish, but it comes out as the latter. And you can feel the depth in it. Michael was just saying bush vines, which of course usually yield more depth in the flavor, and also very old vines. And you can see the benefit of that. They haven't been forced up high trellises to produce a lot of grapes in a short space of time. That is why I think this is a very worthy wine, and really very pleasant indeed.
Michael, Levan did mention food. What sort of food might you pair this particular wine with, this Chenin Blanc?
If I could just mention one thing about the serving temperature. A wine like this doesn't need to be served too cold. But you know, whenever I think Chenin, I always think of a nice, large, organic, free-range chicken that's had some goat's cheese and butter and herbs stuffed under the skin and just roasted with potatoes and a green vegetable like a broccoli or beans or something like that and a little salad. Just perfect.
I assume you kill it before you stuffed it.
One does.
Okay. Well, just in general terms, Ian wasn't being disparaging about Chenin Blanc or Chenin Blanc, as the French would pronounce it.
Yeah.
But it isn't necessarily the most fashionable grape, which is silly, because there was a time when South Africa used to mass produce this stuff, I think, to mainly turn into brandy.
Yeah.
These days, it is a quality artisan product, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, look, the thing is, it is Chenin Blanc is the largest planted grape in our vineyards. And I think you know, the impression is that it's off dry or sweet. This is in fact plong in the middle of the 1 to 5 grams, which denotes a dry wine. It's 2.8 grams per liter of residual sugar. But I think Chenin Blanc is swinging back, and not only the sort of artisanal producers, but some of the big wineries like Paardeberg, for argument's sake, and Boerland, are producing some really stunning Chenins.
Well, unusually, Michael, I'd like to go off on a little bit of a tangent in this particular podcast, because we did have some very important news at the weekend, which was that we are moving closer to a ban on advertising of alcohol, of wines and spirits and so on. And we do have two people who are very familiar with the economy, very familiar with business, with us in our German studio today. So with your indulgence, I'd just like to get their response on.
Absolutely.
My own view is that we are going to see publications close, because you see these glossy adverts, particularly aimed at the black diamonds for whiskey, for brandy. We also see a lot of advertisements for wine, both on TV and in the print media. Levan Gopal, how much of a threat do you think this is to the business of publishing, to the media in general, if we just turn the tap off and say you cannot advertise wines or spirits?
I believe that it's going to be a serious threat, not only to publishing and advertising, but certainly to a number of sponsored events. If you consider a number of sporting and other social events where advertising by alcohol companies is probably the biggest mainstay for these different sponsors. Now, we noticed this more than a decade ago when tobacco companies were banned. And fortunately, the telecommunications businesses and other, let's say, unsinful type of businesses were able to step in. I'm thinking of the Rothmans July, and so it became the Vodacom July, or the Gunston 500 and so on. So these various events found alternate sponsors. We are in something of a low point in the economy, and whether we'll be so quick to fill the slots of these alcohol companies, I wonder. I do know that jobs within the advertising arena will be lost.
Ian Cruickshanks, your thoughts?
I think the first blow is going to be to the publishing industry. I think undoubtedly there are several magazines and glossy papers, as you mentioned, who rely on this sector for a lot of expensive advertising. But what I think is perhaps even more of a shame is that it's going to make it more difficult to differentiate between quality. Are we going to find there's more of a move, instead of to drinking good wine, because I've seen it talked about, written about, and commented on, instead of just, well, let's buy a bottle of wine and let's plonk, isn't that the way it's supposed to be? I think that this could be a problem regarding quality possibly deteriorating because there was a less informed audience and prospective buying public in this sector.
And Michael Olivier, of course, you are based down in the Cape. You interact on a daily basis with the wine industry, with the food and wine people. What's the sentiment in the industry? Are they worried?
Yeah, they are. I think they have to be. You know, if you think of the bigger companies like the Distells and the DGBs and these people who spend massive amounts of money advertising, it's got to affect them. I just don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, I'm afraid.
And Levan, what about the logic? If you don't advertise it, people won't get drunk, there won't be alcohol abuse. We're back to Shangri-La.
I think it's probably got shades of a police state because they're trying to control people. I recall growing up as a kid watching adverts for Castle Lager and Brise, and it didn't make me as a 10-year-old go out and buy a castle. But
you waited until you were 11.
But it may have its heart in the right place by way of morals. When you weigh up the commercial interests, I think it may be too heavy a blow for an emerging economy.
And your views in Cruickshanks?
Well, yes, it will be a heavy blow. Not just maybe, it will be a heavy blow. There's no doubt about that at all. It'll mean there'll have to be even more reliance on the export sector, which of course is probably heavily overtraded on a worldwide basis now. In any case, I think just listening to what Michael said, the industry is very worried, I think quite rightly so, and what we have to look at, how many jobs are in jeopardy, has that been looked at in the broader basis of what it could mean? I don't believe that taking away advertising actually reduces the amount of consumption. Just look at what happened to America during the Prohibition years. It didn't stop alcoholism as well as enjoying alcohol.
Yeah. And of course, Michael Olivier, if there is less direct advertising of wines and spirits, they will have to find creative, sophisticated, and intellectual ways of promoting that product, such as Divine Intervention, an excellent podcast, which I would recommend to all our listeners. Anyway, that's pretty much all we've got time for this evening. But before I go, just a reminder of what we've been tasting. It was the Kloof Street Swartland Wine of Origin 2012 Chenin Blanc. So it's farewell to Michael Olivier down in the Cape. Michael, thank you once again for your time. Much appreciated.
Such a pleasure, John.
And here in the Joburg studio, many thanks to Levan Gopal.
Thank you, and thank you for the invite for the wine tasting.
And thanks for your return to our podcast World of Wine. Great fun, isn't it, Ian Cruickshanks?
As always, I was just going to say, great fun again. Thank you.
And from me, John Fraser, this has been Divine Intervention. We'll see you again next week.